altars of our God and King. Lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam. Thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. 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 Thou rushing wind that art so strong, you clouds that sail and have no long, oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Thou rising moon in praise rejoice. You lights of evening find a voice. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. 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 Let all things their Creator bless. And worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son. And praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Well, good morning. We're glad you're with us this morning as we've gathered together to worship our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me offer a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning thankful for who you are, thankful for what you're doing and will yet do, and thank you, thankful for making us, Lord, your people. Continue to work into us, Lord, that which is pleasing in your sight, and I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you, would you create faith in them, that they would understand their created purpose, Lord, that they would see you and live for you this day and forevermore, we pray in your name. Amen. I do want to extend a welcome if any of you are visitors with us this morning. I try to scan, and if you are visiting with us this morning, we have a gift for you out front with some information about our church, and as I offer each week, come on up, talk to me, introduce yourself, I'd like to meet you, and that goes for everybody here, members as well. If you want to talk or you have something you want to meet for during the week, please give me a call, send me an email. I'd love to meet you for coffee. I'm going to extend to you right now God's greeting, and we do this from 2 Corinthians 13, receiving from the Lord his greeting to us, and then in turn we're going to greet one another after we're welcomed by our Lord. 2 Corinthians 13, Paul wrote these words, "By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Let's greet each other.
Singing over me, you have been. so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. So shadow, you won't light up, mountain, you won't climb up, coming after me. Snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Snow shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Our prayer through this next song is that we recognize just how great God is and how small we are. We can get so caught up in our own lives, and then we tend to forget that God is in control. Time can move so slowly, but to God, 1,000 years is but a day. We were made from dust, and to dust we shall return. But God, God will never pass away. He was at the beginning, and he will be there at the end. Our flesh will fail, but our God will never fail. Let's sing together, Give Me Faith.
My heart and break me apart. open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say.
Our call to confession this morning is responsive, and it's from Psalm 147, if you'd respond with these words with me. Our help is in the name of the Lord, our God, who has made the heavens and the earth. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, make music upon the harp. How good it is to celebrate God's presence and sing praise throughout the day. How good it is to sing praise and to give honor to our God. Our God rebuilds the people of the earth. The wandering ones are gathered together. The brokenhearted are healed. The hungry are fed. The prisoners are freed. The blind are given sight. The lonely are befriended. All of nature sings aloud the goodness of God. Clouds, rain, grass, creatures great and small. Our God creates and sustains our world with his ever-growing, never-ending love. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of our God and of Christ Jesus our Lord. Our confession, call of confession, is from Psalm 32. The psalmist writes, "Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up like by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. Would you bow your head as I pray a prayer of confession? God, you are merciful, and we are sinful. We are unworthy in and of ourselves to stand before you, but in your great grace, you have given us your Son to stand in our place, that we may be made right before you. We thank you, Jesus, that we can come before the throne boldly, confessing that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Jesus, we've sinned by things that we've done, and we've sinned by things that we have refused to do. And now we silently confess those sins to you. God, we acknowledge that we haven't loved you with all of our hearts. We have not loved you with all of our mind, and we have not loved you with all of our strength. God, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We confess that sin to you. In your mercy, God, forgive what we've been. Continue to change what we are. Direct us, Lord, towards what you are making us to be. And help us to delight in your will, that we might walk in your ways, to your glory, to your holy name, to the joy that you've set before us, we pray in your name. Amen. The assurance of pardon from Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and he is gracious. He is slow to anger and he's abounding in steadfast love. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Praise be to our God. Well, we've started our series in Titus. I would ask that you have your Bibles open to Titus chapter 1. We're going to again look at verses 1 through 4, but focusing on 2 to 4. Oh, that's the image I want you to keep in your mind. Almost lost my mind on that one. Is that that's the monster at Adventureland? I won't do that again, actually. My daughters will. There was a day. That's our world. It's a roller coaster. That's the image. It's crazy. Right? Everyone's yelling at each other, calling each other names, accusations, forced apologies. Welcome to the monster. It's where we live. It's always been a monster. But God is changing that through Christ. The monster came because of sin. It wasn't always that way. In the beginning, it wasn't that way. It was good, and sin entered the picture, and the world was mangled. Not only us, but all of the world experiencing the effects of the fall. And Christ coming into the story to undo those effects, to rewind history, if you would, to get us back to that point where the world wasn't a monster, where it wasn't a roller coaster. Our passage this morning from Titus, let me read verse 1 all the way through 4. Paul wrote to Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me pray. Jesus, as we consider again this opening of the book of Titus and just even what's packed in here by your Spirit's presence through the Apostle Paul's hand, there's so much we can pull out of here, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear that which is pleasing to you, Lord. Change our lives that we might walk in joy in the newness of life you've given us. We pray in your name. Amen. So it's interesting the experiences you can have with your kids through your kids' eyes, like riding a roller coaster, but other experiences too. And so in our backyard a couple months ago now, when the robins were being born, there was this little robin that we found out later was forced out of its nest. You know, that's what the parents do. Like, get out of here. It's time to be on your own. It's time to learn to fly. to fend for yourself. And so this little robin found its safety on one of our play sets in the backyard, right by the slide, which had to be cleaned. But there he sat. And he would sit day after day. And our first thought is, well, what's up with that robin? Like, it's just a baby. Maybe a hawk is going to get it or some animal is going to take it. Like, what's wrong? What should we do with it? And we didn't know it was pushed from the nest. So we walked out by the robin, and instantly we found out that it was being protected. Two birds squawking at us, swooping towards us each time we'd approach that baby robin. So we're like, just leave it alone. Just for fun, we'd go out by it once in a while, and then squawking and flying towards our heads. Nope, back off, leave it alone. The thing is being protected. It's okay. It will be okay. A couple days later, it flew away. I mean, that feeling of security, well, we all long for it, we all want it. I mean, we want it for baby birds. Like, we want it for ourselves. We know we want to belong. We want to know where we belong, who we belong to, who is out there guarding us. Flying towards anyone that would pose a danger. Who's out there? Have you ever met someone that you knew they were just looking for a place to belong? They didn't quite know where they fit. They didn't have anybody squawking at predators for them. They didn't know who they were, why they were here. That existential question. That one we all have to answer at some point. Well, Paul answers it right off the bat. We talked about this last week. He says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is who he is. It's what he was called to do, and the details of that were this. For the sake of God's elect, that's why he was there, and their knowledge of the true faith which accords with godliness, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. His mission, the proclamation of Christ in a world that was a monster, a roller coaster. But he was so wrapped up in Christ, it didn't matter the times or the place he lived in. He knew his calling, he knew his objective, prison, free, beatings, whatever. The joy of the Lord was upon him to do the work God had given him to do. And so we live in this world, this roller coaster, where from the media, news, TV shows, even preaching sometimes from pulpits, we're encouraged to buy into a certain trajectory. So the 2019 trajectory, I mean, get on the themes of race, class, gender, lack of gender, marriage, white privilege, any kind of privilege, any kind of little Marxist themes, like buy into it and make that your problem and head in that direction. And so we're told with some of these little Marxist themes in our culture that the problem is the dividing line between people. People over there and people over here. What people are you here? Are you privileged, not privileged? What's the line that divides you? That's what we're told in our culture. Find where you stand, what side of the line you're on. And Christianity is like, no, it's not about the division of people. It's the division in here. Our hearts divided. Sin has divided us and cut us off from God. And now we're just trying to divide people and create our own kind of order apart from what God does in us. First and foremost, we need reconciliation with God who makes all things whole. And we have to be aware of this. These things happen subtly. Even at Crete, where Titus was preaching, was a difficult place. We'll talk about that shortly. But it's always a difficult place. In the times that we live, as God works in our lives and in the world, I tuned into this one sermon last week just on someone's request. And literally, it was just the culture. Marginalization was the topic. Victimization, identity. And it wasn't from Scripture. Politics was their Scripture. The culture's Marxist impulses. Asking, where do you belong? What line has divided you and others? And we're like, no, where is the gospel in this? Where's the gospel's restoration? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus in the midst of this. He has to inform this world that's ravaged by sin. Stay off the bandwagon. It's not going in the right direction culturally. All these isms, all these divides between people. Focus on who Christ is and what he is doing. The world's got a plan for you. They'll be happy to give it to you. Christ has one as well. Who are we? Why are we here? What's our purpose in the world in this roller coaster? So there we were at Adventureland, last year? Maybe? Was it last year, a year and a half ago? And Elle was like, I want to ride the monster. So I'm like, all right, let's go do it. And it's a story about me, not you, so don't worry. So we get into this thing, and you've probably been on there. I think it was the monster. Anyway, so you sit on this thing, and I've been fine with roller coasters most of my life. I get dizzy now and sick, so I don't like them as well. But the restraint falls on your legs, like right here, if you've been on it. Like, there's no upper body restraint. It's just on your legs. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. It's too late now. Like, it's locked in, and we begin clicking up the first hill, and my thought is, trust the engineers. Trust the engineers. Trust the engineers. This is not a restraint. This is just my legs being held on. And then we begin to curve that first hill, and it doesn't go straight down. Like, it curves backwards. And like, trust the engineers, right? Trust the engineers. And I didn't fall out. Nobody fell out. And to this point, as far as I know, nobody's fallen off the thing. You are restrained in that roller coaster. You are secure. Even though you don't think you are very secure on that thing. Now, I'm not saying this as an encouragement to ride the roller coaster. This is the image you're supposed to have in this world that is a roller coaster. You are secure in Christ. Even though you might not feel like it, if your faith is in Him, if you've trusted Him for salvation, you are secure in Him. And that security does something to us so we can live in the world freely. You are secure. Do you feel secure? Do you understand who you are in Jesus, that you were purchased with a price, that you belong to Him? You are secure. In life and in death, you belong to Him. No matter which angle or hill or turn this life takes you on, you are secure in Jesus if your faith is in Him. That's the key. If your faith isn't in Him, you have no security. But in Him, your sins are forgiven. You are reconciled to God the Father. You belong to Him now forever. He is doing a work in you. He's not only showing you who you are by who Jesus is, He's making you like Jesus more and more every day. You have a radical security in Christ in this roller coaster world. It's interesting watching the news, watching Hong Kong protest right now, fighting over communism encroaching on Hong Kong, and watching some of the protesters holding American flags. And then you look at America and we're like burning flags. It's like it's the West becoming the East and the East becoming the West. Who are we, right? We of all people know who we are in Christ. So in one very real sense, Paul does this for Titus. He writes him this letter of encouragement, reminding him of who he is in Christ. Now, again, things that Paul wrote in here, they weren't new for Titus. Titus had ministered with Paul for quite a while. There wasn't new theology in here. It was encouragement to him and instruction for the church. Instruction for what the churches that were being planted should look like. The men that were being called to lead the church as elders. And it was credentials for the church when they pushed back against what Titus would read in this letter. But we'll get to that shortly. So I'd say in one very real sense, Paul wanted to encourage Titus. And again, we reap the benefits in God's sovereignty of being encouraged from this letter as well. So as we said last week, as Titus would teach these things, living in the chaos of the world that he lived in even then, in the roller coaster of the world would push back. So Crete was this place of cultural, different cultures traveling through and influencing that culture. You don't have the church pushing back as well. It was a difficult place to minister. And so these words again that we considered last week, Paul said this, at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God. So remind the church, as they fight for these things and maybe against some of these things, who they are, who they belong to. Remind them that I, Paul, gave you this letter and that Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. If there is argument, it's against the Spirit ultimately. That credential that Titus would carry in this roller coaster of a world. Let's hear the whole thing again, what Paul wrote in the beginning. It's worth reading again. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God, its elect, and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child, in the common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. So verse 2 to 3 is what I want to consider here. So we've kind of already answered the question, you know, how could Paul do what he did in the times that he did it? Close to death many times, shipwrecked, imprisoned, in a world that hated this cult, they called them, the Way, who stood opposed to the message of Christ and still do. Paul knew that he was secure in Christ. One of my favorite sections of Scripture. Is Alice here? This is your dad's favorite too. This is what we read as well. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. This is a passage of security. Hear this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And Paul will go on to say, what shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, hardship, distress. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate us from him. You are secure in Christ. And the application of that, the outflow is, if you know your security in Christ, you are free in the world to serve Jesus. You are free to a particular task. You are free. Do you feel that freedom right now? Do you know this freedom in Christ? A lot of us don't, because we buy into the mantras that are dividing the age: class, race, gender, privilege, white privilege, you name it, on and on, all the isms. We don't know freedom, we just know exhaustion. Too much, I'm tired. In Christ, we are humanity. There is one race. The human race, the division is in our heart. God is the one making us whole. So we don't need to blame others. We don't need a scapegoat to make them apologize. What we need is Christ and his healing and the responsibility he gives us to live for him in this world now freely. So how do we know this freedom? I want to break it down in the time I have left in three different ways. We know this freedom first through Christ's witness. We know the freedom also through Christ's word. And we know the freedom through our faith and fellowship. So we start here. We have the witness of Christ to our freedom. Look at verse 2 with me. Paul says this: in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages. So we know the statement. We know that God does not lie. And there's lots of commands and promises in Scripture. Just have a handful of them from God who does not lie. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And then in 1 Samuel, and also the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. God does not lie. If he has said it, it is true. God does not change like we change. He is not superficial. He doesn't come to you to talk about the weather. He knows everything about you. Take some more promises. Here, from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him and for him. And without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Getting back to Romans 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing all riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is packed full with promises and truth from a God who doesn't lie. Let me just read a couple more. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is Christ or nothing. Christianity isn't just one option of many. It is this or nothing. Matthew 11, come to me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He promises you will, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me just do two more here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. This is all the restraint on your legs that's holding you in. You're secure. That's what I'm trying to show you. This is who you are in Christ. And this is just a little taste of it. Last one I'll read here. Jesus says this. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You are secure if your faith is in Christ. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. You are secure if your faith is in Christ. Live free in the world. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is up to God. You're seated in his seat in this roller coaster, and that makes you free. Free to live for Jesus without fear. Free to live confidently before the throne of God. You are free. So Paul specifically here pointing out this promise as it relates to eternal life. The promise, if you've received Christ as Lord and Savior, is for you. You will receive it. You're guaranteed it. You're not guaranteed it an easy ride in this life. In this life, there will be many trials. It will be difficult. There is sanctification. There is suffering. But you belong to Jesus. The engineer knows what he is doing, right? Not one of his people has fallen off yet. This promise should make you free. So we have a witness to this promise by Christ himself and his very words and his life. But we also have witness to this freedom we have in Christ through Scripture. For some of you, you're like, what's the difference? For others here, I have to make a qualification. I want to make one thing crystal clear on this section. Scripture and Jesus cannot be separated. You don't get one without the other. You have the Word made flesh. The Word of God, the Bible, is inspired by the Holy Spirit, written through the inspiration of the Spirit of Christ. Some will say, well, we just need this as far as it leads us to Jesus, and then we're on to discern on our own. We can put this thing away. That is not what we say. This does lead us to Jesus, and Jesus leads us right back to his inspired Word, what he's said, what he's instructed. You get one, you get the other. You don't separate them. Granted, there is a translation history, but all that we understand of sola scriptura, you do not separate Christ and the Word of God. And we're not red-letter Christians. You ever heard somebody say that? What does Jesus say about it? Let's just look at the red letters. And we're like, no, all of it is inspired, even the Old Testament. It's all red letters. It's unfortunate I have to say that, but we do live in a time of history where the rejection of this is more common than we think. Or the molding and shaping of it to feel good in a culture that doesn't like it, or to be embarrassed about it. We talked about that a bit last week. We're to be the type of free Christian that is not ashamed of anything God has said in his word. But you don't separate Christ and Scripture, the Holy Spirit himself inspiring those words. That's why Paul would say this to Titus. Titus, go plant churches, preach to the church, show them this letter. Here's what I say in this letter. And at the proper time, manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. Titus, right here. Credentials. And the world will push back. And the church will even push back, depending what circles you're running in and what passages we're dealing with. But I want you to have confidence in who Christ is and what he's revealed to us in his word. And what does that freedom look like through Scripture? It looks like ultimately freedom of proclaiming the good news to a world that's running away from it, to proclaiming the good news to us. As the Spirit works by and with the Word of God. We can trust the witness of Scripture. We can boldly proclaim it to ourselves and to the world without fear or embarrassment. So I ask, do you trust the witness of Scripture? For direction, without excuse, without embarrassment, even if it doesn't line up with the wisdom of the world, because it doesn't. Do you have this freedom of the witness of Scripture in your life? You've heard the saying, some will say, well, why can't you just preach the gospel without words? I mean, just go live the gospel. I'm like, yeah, fine. Like, there's application, go live the gospel, but you can't preach the gospel without words. I mean, how am I going to share the gospel with you that Christ died for your sins, rose again from the grave, is seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for you without saying anything? I mean, I'd look like a mime trying to act it out to get the point across. You know, that's not how God has set up the system. He could have saved people any way he wanted to, but this is what we read in Romans 10. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Oh, how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You can't preach the gospel without words. Yes, you can live out your faith, but trust the witness of Scripture to that freedom. Then to the third and fourth, kind of intertwined here. We have the witness of our faith and fellowship to the freedom that God has given us. So our faith and our fellowship. So I showed this video 2 weeks ago of Early Rain Covenant Church, that Reformed Church in China, where the homes are being raided. So I just saw this picture last week from that church. One of the church members, they went outside his apartment and they put a camera right outside his apartment to see when he comes and goes, and they put a guard there of a church member because they're trying to shut this thing down. I heard another story of a pastor in a communist regime, different church, similar story. He was ordered to quit preaching because he was seen as a threat to the government. So they put him in prison. In prison, he described being lonely. He described being beaten. But he said, I had a freedom nobody could take from me. The man had memorized Scripture, and he knew all the hymns he grew up with. He had all those in his mind. And so when he was in the cell, he would recite Scripture to himself, and he would sing. And pretty soon, other inmates around him would begin to sing with him. And as he told the account, he said when they would travel from one section to another, they would all sing hymns together. And they would get beaten, and they would get threatened. But he's like, we were free. We were so free, no one could take that away from us. As they sang hymns in chains, it reminds us right away of Acts 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They're in prison. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And the story goes on. The guard was saved, you know. He's like, put me to death. You guys are free. And he's like, no, Christ has done this. He is true. This is who we're singing about. And he and his whole family then were saved. So maybe you've seen bits and pieces of the protest that's happening in Hong Kong. If you know some of the history of Hong Kong without divining it too much right now, China's communism is encroaching on it because of things that happened when Hong Kong was being handed over back to China, in that sense. Long story short, there's a freedom that citizens in Hong Kong have that those in China don't, mainland China don't. And the threat right now is being extradited from Hong Kong to Chinese courts. I'll just say this, like, Hong Kong has been a free place. Christianity has been thriving there. It's been a door to the east for missionaries, for churches. There are quite a few Christians in Hong Kong. And there are millions protesting right now the encroaching communism of mainland China. Maybe you've read that China's got a social credit system. Have you heard about that? Basically, how you are socially, how you interact with other people online, in public, gives you like a credit card rating system. It goes up and down. If you're good socially, as dictated from on high, your credit, social credit goes up, and you can do more things. If you're a bad citizen, it goes down. And so right now, like, there's millions of people who can't fly or take the train because they have bad social credit. So here you have all these protesters in Hong Kong. I saw a picture yesterday of them sawing down a facial recognition pole. The encroaching threat. I mean, something big is going to happen here in Hong Kong. Something big has to happen here. And either freedom will expand or it will go away. But for those who are believers, they will always be free, no matter what happens in Hong Kong. In fact, some of the protest videos, you hear them singing Christian hymns. You have Christians out there, they understand what's at stake. The world is a roller coaster. But we are free, no matter the times or the place that we live. So Paul wrote this, "To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, as we said last week, most likely Titus was brought to Christ through Paul. He was discipled by Paul, and then he became a fellow minister with Paul. And then Paul left him there at Crete to plant churches, to place elders. And now he writes this letter of encouragement in this common faith. Hear those words. In a common faith with brothers and sisters in Hong Kong, a common faith with brothers and sisters in Africa, a common faith with brothers and sisters who are Christian in Russia, in Urbandale, in Waukee, with your grandparents, if they were believers, with your great-grandkids. This is a common faith we share in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that unites us. This common faith, this fellowship that we have is testimony to the freedom that God has given us that no culture, no government, no situation could ever take away. You are restrained secure on this roller coaster. One faith, one baptism that Stacy will be baptized into, one Lord. So I ask, do you stand secure in this one faith? Are you free? Do you understand the message of the gospel that is changing you and it's changing the world? It not only has transformed your life, Christ is not only king of your heart, it's transformed your home. And you get a bunch of these homes together, it transforms the city. You get a bunch of these cities together, it transforms a nation. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and that's bigger than your heart. He's changing the world. And you're free to live in this world that he's changing. I want to conclude. For some reason, Job popped into my mind. Like, he was on a roller coaster, right? Job. In a crazy world, terrible suffering, terrible pain, worldly advice all around him. And he makes this statement. It's like, I'm secure. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I don't know what's going on in your life. Actually, I know a bunch of what's going on in a lot of your lives. Trust the engineer. You're not going to fall off this thing. He has you secure until the end. You belong to him. It's going to be a ride with a lot of curves, loops, scary. But he has you. And he is not letting go of you. Do you know this freedom? Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for the promises we have in your word. I thank you that these promises are for the church, Lord. Titus to the church of Crete. To each of us here at Crossroads Fellowship. I thank you, Jesus, that we are secure in you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. In rejoicing in our one faith, I'm looking for Mike. There he is. All right.
So it's on? Okay. Stacy, come on up. So it is my privilege this morning to introduce to you the newest member of our church, Stacy Zedlet. As many of you know, he's been with us quite a long time. Actually, since 2002, he's been a face here at our church. And today he's going to make profession of faith and be baptized. So it is with joy that we get to celebrate that. I got to know him after 9/11. We both worked at the 132nd Fighter Wing down here at Des Moines. And we went on active duty together, and that's where I got to know him. And I also got to know we have a common brotherhood that we're both former Marines. And so we have quite a bond in sharing in the Guard and in sharing in the common Marine Corps. Since he's joining our family here, I also want to share with you a little bit from our family. Over the years, Stacy's been with us, and our girls gave him a nickname. They call him George Washington. You can kind of see why, the white hair. For some reason, after he retired from the Guard, he decided to take a Nazarite vow and never put a razor to his head. So, anyway, it is with great joy. And the angels celebrate in heaven, we know, when a sinner repents and acknowledges Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So it is with great joy today that we can celebrate with Stacy as he makes profession of faith. So, Pastor.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Okay, because that's true. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Because that's true, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Not just some generic God in general. There were a lot of gods back then, right? But he said in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one true God, triune God of Scripture, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Hear these words from Romans chapter 6. All of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is the sign and seal of God's promise to his covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive us our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ the church, and to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew and to cleanse us, and then to resurrect us to new life. We use water. That's the command. It's that outward symbol of that inward reality. Covenant sign and seal was circumcision in the Old Testament, symbolizing a cutting away of flesh. It was a bloody sacrament. New Testament, covenant symbol is water. Showing who God's people are, but showing that Christ has cleansed us. That's what water does. It cleanses us, it purifies, it refreshes. And Jesus Christ is our living water. Through baptism, Christ calls us to new obedience. He calls us to love and trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world and to live a new and holy life. Yet, when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy. He's got you. You are secure, right? Nor continue in sin. For baptism is the sign and seal of God's eternal covenant of grace. with us. So Stacy has made his profession before the elders. He makes a profession before the church right now, knowing who he is accountable to and who's helping him grow in the faith as well. We are together in this. So the questions we asked before the elders, I'm asking you now before our family, our body of Christ here. I ask you before God and this church to reject evil, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church. So I ask, do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world? If so, say, I renounce them.
I renounce them.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation and through worship and service seek to advance God's kingdom here and throughout the world? If so, say, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Stacy, do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church, to walk in a spirit of Christian love with this congregation, and to seek for the things that make for unity, purity, and peace? If so, say, I do, God helping me.
I do, God helping me.
We have a response as well. Would you stand as we say these words from the Apostles' Creed? Crossroads Fellowship, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let me pray before you're seated. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for salvation. We give you thanks for water. Not only does it sustain us, not only do we need it to live, but it reminds us, Jesus, of what you have done and what you've been doing in the world, what you're doing in our life, how you've cleansed us, how you've forgiven us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for freeing us from our sin and opening up the way to everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of baptism. In the water, you confirm to us that in baptism, we are buried with you, Jesus, and we're raised to new life and resurrection, and being renewed by the power of the Spirit and united to Christ in all things, Lord. So we pray, send your Spirit now upon Stacy in these waters of baptism as, Lord, we proclaim you King, King of all. We pray this in your name. Amen. And if you come over here. You know, in some ways, this just seemed like tradition or ceremony. I mean, it is both. But it's a very clear spiritual act. I mean, Stacy's being set apart in this world by God. He's being marked as Christ's own forever. It's not just a ceremony. The Holy Spirit is present here. His promises are for you. This water is for you, Stacy. And so we baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Stacy, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Stacy, Jesus is the only King and he's the only head of the church. We now, in these waters, you having been received through these waters, are being received into the membership of the Holy Catholic Church, engaged to confess Christ and to be God's faithful servant until life's end. It's good to have you here, Stacy. Let's welcome Stacy. Thank you so much. So two things in baptism, you're to remember your baptism. And if you haven't been baptized, let's talk about it. Let's get this thing done. Let me pray, and then we're going to take the offering. Our Lord Jesus, I thank you for baptism. I thank you for Stacy. I thank you, Lord, for the faith that you've given to him. I thank you for your Spirit's presence in his life, and I thank you for the work you've promised to finish, to complete, to carry out in him until he is with you face to face, Lord. Thank you for baptism. Thank you for the covenant promises you've given to us, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Our offering this morning is for World Renew, and as the offering's taken, please pass the folders. If you're new with us, please fill out your information. Again, for World Renew.
All right.
So Lori's going to present a video on the offering.
Is Kay here? So on May 25, a team of 20 members had the privilege to serve in Honduras for 8 days through World Gospel Outreach. The team included myself, Jacob, Brad, Brent, and Kay, and former members Randy and Chris Stromley. This was my 6th time to Honduras, and I was just thrilled to be able to share it with these people for the first time. When you see the video, it begins with Sunday worship service at the first church that we served, and you'll just see so much joy as they're worshiping. And then you'll also see the long lines of people waiting for care. Some of them were there before sunrise. Some of them this year even stayed overnight to be sure that they could get in. And once they did get in, they could either choose medical, dental, or optical. They could only choose one. And then they would all go to the evangelism station where the gospel was presented. And over the 4 days of brigades, we saw 2,401 patients, and 86 of those committed their life to Christ for the first time, and 69 recommitted their life to Christ. And just like Justin said last week with the serve trip, our feeling was just that we were just so incredibly grateful to be able to, partner with God in doing that. And with so many mission trips, we went to help and serve the Hondurans, and we were the ones that were tremendously blessed.
I
Pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Honduras mission trip, the lives that were changed, many changed eternally, Lord, and even the visible signs now of the healing that you do and will do completely when we're with you. We thank you, Lord, for mission trips and those who serve. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that are serving the Sunday school teachers preparing, Lord, for the upcoming Sunday school year here in Vacation Bible School and Bible studies and small groups. I pray for those who feel disconnected and not a part of something, Lord, that this year would be the year that everyone is connected, that everyone understands who they are, why they're here, who's fighting for them. Might we all be plugged in, Lord, with you and each other as a body of believers here. We pray for students and teachers, Lord, and the schools around the area. Now that school is back in session, we pray, Lord, for a very fruitful school year and blessing upon the teachers and the students and parents. We know we have many represented here this morning as well. We pray blessing upon their lives. We pray for our council. We pray for wisdom, Lord, for our elders and for our deacons as we lead together this body of believers. We pray that we would be a shining light in a world, Lord, that is dark. And so we pray, Lord, for the world, for Hong Kong and the riots that are happening, the marches, for other parts of the world, the chaos that seems to be taking place. Lord, we thank you that you are the antidote to chaos, Lord Jesus. You are the cure. You've done it in our life, Lord. Help us proclaim the good news to the world, to those that would receive you. We pray for those that are awaiting healing, Lord, in need of healing. We ask that you'd be with John Coster's mother, Lord, be with her, with her nose, with her vertebrae, Lord, that she would be encouraged. I do ask, Lord, for Angie, for healing upon her body. I pray that you'd continue to give her your sustaining grace and healing, continued healing upon Mike's body, Lord Jesus, for LaVon and for Paul. We ask that you'd be with them. Watch over them, Lord. We pray for healing for them. We continue to pray for Norma Christensen's brother David. We ask that you'd give him good health. For Glenn and Darlene Summers and others, Lord, watch over families of our church. For the Meadema family with the passing of Becky's mother, we pray for comfort and peace upon their family. Lord, we thank you for the neighborhoods you've given us to serve, for the food shelf that met here Monday. The Muslims, the Coptic Christians, all those that came through the doors here to receive food. We thank you that you've placed us in this strategic place to feed the nations, Lord, in that sense. And for the food pantry on Thursday, Lord, for feeding this city, those that are in need of food. We thank you for those that participated, that were involved. We long for the day, Lord, when the nations are fed, when there is no more hunger, no more thirst. All things are made right. We thank you, Lord, that Terry Spoolstra's surgery is now come and gone, and we pray for continued healing upon her body. Others, Lord, who are awaiting healing, we ask that you'd be with them. We praise you this morning, Lord, with Stacy for the welcoming into the family of believers through the waters of baptism. For the sign that he's received of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord of his life, Lord of all things. I pray that we would continue to look towards you, Lord God, that we might live in ways that are pleasing towards you in a world that pulls us in different directions, Lord, at our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our families. Might we serve you above all things with joy, with great joy, Lord Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. Might we know that joy and the security we have in you. Be with our nation, with our president, vice president, Lord. Be with those that lead at city levels, state levels. Those who lead businesses. Be with parents, Lord. All those in positions of authority, we ask for wisdom. Be with the nations of the world, Lord. Might the nations know you. And so I do pray, Lord, for the future of countries that have sought to eradicate the gospel. We know that's an impossible endeavor, so might they receive you, Jesus, and have freedom. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Are there any announcements this morning? And John, thank you. I know it's no small undertaking getting this thing organized and implemented and done, so thank you very much as well. Any other announcements? Would you stand for the benediction? This comes from Psalm 72. We send you with these words, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth." Amen.
Take my place.
is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.